Welcome to the Awaken Podcast. At Awaken Church, we are passionate about wrestling with and being unraveled by the Christian scriptures. Ideally, we do this together around the table in the neighborhood of Bowness. As we see it, Jesus has invited all of us to encounter him in a diverse community and participate with him in a mission of loving our neighbors.
We're talking about the incarnation, and as a church, you know, during Advent, we celebrate the birth of Christ. We celebrate God with us. We celebrate Jesus being in the flesh in our midst. And so then Advent ends, and now is a time to say, okay, so what do we do about that? What does that mean in our life? And so today we're talking about living together as a response to this idea that God is with us. To be Advent people is to be people who live together. And maybe we don't cohabitate the same house, but we live our lives together. We live together, most of us in the same neighborhood. And so living together. And so kind of underlying this whole topic is the idea of home and being home. So I was inspired this week. I'm going to read to you lyrics from a song. And see, you can, on Zoom, you can use the chat, or those of you who are here, if you can guess which song this is. This is a song that, when I hear it, I often think about home. Alabama, Arkansas, I do love my ma and pa, not the way that I do love you. Well, holy moly, me oh my, you're the apple of my eye. Girl, I've never loved one like you. Home, let me come home. Home is wherever I'm with you. Home, let me come home. Home is wherever I'm with you. Is this a familiar song to anybody? Edward Sharp, Home and the Magnetic Zeros. You'll have to listen to it. It is a classic song. Okay, so that didn't work that well. That's okay. The question I have, I thought by reading that would kind of remind you of home. And so the question I have, kind of overarching this whole topic, is what is something that instantly makes you feel at home? That word home, it feels kind of emotional, I think, for some people right now, because you're far from home or you're stuck in home. What is something? It can be a big, huge, special thing or something tiny. What is something? And please, I have the Zoom meeting here so I could read it from the chat box, or those of you who are here in person, what is something that instantly makes you feel at home, reminds you of home? Thoughts? Ginger snap cookies. The taste of a ginger snap, immediately you're home. Beautiful. Megan Biggs says apple juice, the taste of apple juice. That's funny. Board games, for sure. David says board games make her feel at home. Rod says the color blue. Adea says her mom. That's good. I'm glad. Being home with mom. My kids would say the same, I think. Anyone else? Is there a scent of a dish soap or a laundry detergent or maybe a perfume that your grandma used to wear? Like, can you think of something that immediately makes you feel at home? Take a minute and think about the feeling of home. Dave King says a hug makes him feel at home. I know some of you are missing home very much right now. Holly, being around animals. Yes, Holly was a vet assistant, and I know that being around animals, dogs and cats, make her feel at home. Rod says fresh bread. Is it the smell of fresh bread or the taste of it or knowing someone is making it near you? What was that, Miranda? Like a green forest. You grew up near a forest, like on a farm in the country. Green forest, you feel at home. I love that. My parents divorced when I was young and got back together after a while, and then divorced again, and then divorced their next spouse and got remarried again. So as a kid, I moved around a lot. And the feeling of home that is often associated with people, I lost that a lot. And I had new people all of a sudden, you know, stepmoms and step-siblings. But my grandparents, live in Lakeview, and the house that they live in now is the same house that like my dad grew up in, I think. And so that house to me is everything. It's like the only place in the world where I'm like, this is home. Like I have childhood memories there. And they recently renovated their kitchen and I was like devastated because those old 70s tiles were like so important to me. And I have a box of those tiles. I asked in their like demolition. I'm like, I'm not letting go of these tiles. This is my home. And so in my garage somewhere is a box of tiles. And, you know, I'm just not going to part with them because that reminds me of home. Being home. Many of us grew up in somewhere in your house. Maybe it was a dish towel or a sign on the wall. Maybe there was a sign that said home, sweet home. Or maybe growing up, there was something else in your house and it said, home is where the heart is, like a knickknack in the kitchen. Did anybody have something like that? Home is very important. In our homes, we have, probably all of us in your home, you have what's called a living room. Your home is where you do the living. Your home is a place where you feel at ease, where you feel safe, where you feel relaxed. But you can't just have a place that's shelter and say this is home, right? Like going to a hotel doesn't feel like home. You have to actually make a house into a home, and it can take a lot of work. So if you have a person experiencing homelessness and he has all of his possessions in a grocery cart, giving him a place to sleep under a bridge, he doesn't feel at home, right? That's not a relaxed state. But if you just took him into an apartment and said, boom, here it is, and that wouldn't feel like home for him either. It would actually take time to move in and to feel like you have a home. So think about it. A home has to have a roof, meaning it's safe. It's a place where you feel safe, safe from the elements, safe from intruders, safe from strangers. But a home also has to have a door. It's not a home if you're locked inside. People who are incarcerated don't feel like they're at home, even if they have a roof over their head and four walls. Home has a door. In COVID, when you feel locked at home, trapped at home, it's hard to feel at ease and relaxed because you feel trapped or like imprisoned. So homes are meant to have safety, but also a place where you can kind of come and go. Homes are safe. Homes are where there's nourishing food and there's good company. And before your house becomes a home, you have to move in and make it a home, right? Maybe you have to paint the walls and you have to put up photos of your family, or there's candles that are scented that get lit. There's artwork. There's furniture that fits your lifestyle. There's a way where slowly, it takes a while, but eventually your house becomes your home. You have to move in. You have to love the house until it's a home. You have to make it a home. And once you've gotten to that point, the home is supposed to be a place where you feel you can belong, where you are at ease, where you can be resting on like a deep, meaningful level. And I think the biblical word for that at-easeness, that relaxed state is shalom, or rest, Sabbath rest. And so when I describe it that way, maybe some of you are like, I don't think I've ever truly felt at home. Like sometimes you feel at home in hindsight, but in the moment, do you ever truly, truly, truly feel at home? I think because the truth is a lot of us are disconnected from ourselves, disconnected from one another. We're disconnected with fear and anxiety and judgment and pride from our place and our people. And so it's hard to feel like we can totally relax or feel like we totally belong. And to make matters worse, things like death and loss and heartache can make it even more difficult to feel at home. Part of the sorrow you feel when someone you loves dies is the sense that you'll never feel at home again in this world as long as that person is no longer here. I think as a biblical scholar, I can say that thing that keeps us from feeling at home, whether it's death or loss or fear or anxiety or pride or ego, that thing is sin, that thing is ego, that thing that stops us from being able to be at ease and relax and connect, to enter into the rest of God. And so it's fair to say as a Christian that none of us feel truly, truly at home. So therefore, we are always pilgrims trying to get there. Like Dorothy in our red slippers on that yellow brick road. There's no place like home. There's no place like home, trying to get back there. There's a, I don't know what you would call him, a philosopher, a teacher named Ram Dass, and he has a quote, and he says, the meaning of life, the whole purpose of life, he says, we are just walking each other home. And so when I look at the whole biblical story of the coming kingdom of God, it really is a story about God making a home. The Christmas story is about God making a home on this earth. God the Father making a home in the incarnation in Christ. God making a home among people in the incarnation. Think about the primordial story of the Garden of Eden, God creating and building a home where he would walk and be with Adam and Eve and the humans and be a part of all of creation. The whole Old Testament stories about the tabernacle and the temple are about God making a home for himself here in this world. Between the Garden of Eden, the tabernacle, the temple, the incarnation that we celebrate on Christmas morning, to the day of Pentecost when the church is gathered and the Holy Spirit comes. These are stories of God making a home in this world. And the space between those events in the biblical story are spaces where there is exile, there's wandering, there's displacement, there are people who don't have a home. So you could say as Christians that our God is a homemaker. Our God knows how to make a home, how to make a house into a home. Maybe it's bread, making bread. God knows how to make that home. And so as a Christian, maybe you grew up talking about like accepting Jesus into your heart. And I think a way of saying that is that God makes a home within you, that God moves into your life, that moves into your being and makes you into a home. God is a homemaker. He moves in. He cleans it up. He puts paint on the walls and some pictures and art. And God is at ease, relaxed, resting, and invites you into that. Think of the words of the psalmist, "Better is one day in the home of God than thousands elsewhere." In Ephesians chapter 2, up here, this is a verse which I think is about God making his home in our midst and inviting us into that home. Paul writes, "His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." When I read this idea of peace, I think of that peace that comes from the sense of being at home. And the purpose of Christ was to create within himself a home for you and for your enemies, a home for me and for you, for those who are far off and those who are near, within him a peace. And through the Father, we both have access and an invitation to come home. There's this old desert father tradition. I can't recall where it comes from, but there's this image of people, a community standing in a circle, and in the image, God is in the center, and all of the people have a rope or a string connecting them to God. And as they draw nearer to God, to that home, you look up and you notice you're drawing nearer to the other people as well. And isn't that what a church is? It's that as I draw nearer to God and as you draw nearer to God, we find ourselves coming closer and closer together. I miss, in the last 10 months, having people in my home. I miss hosting. I miss having people in my kitchen helping me wash dishes after a meal. I miss being in your home. And I know those of you who are, even those of you who are introverts would say, I miss having people in my home. And I think some part of us knows that we, our journey, our pilgrimage towards home is not that we would all have our own individual home where we'd be alone, but that in Christ we share the same home. God is our rest, that we rest together, that we walk each other home. We're walking each other to the same destination, the peace of Christ. John Miller, John Wolfe Miller, is the founder of a community house, a Christian intentional community in Chicago, Illinois, that he started in the 1950s. And a whole bunch of community houses have started as a result of this. His community house called the Reba Place Fellowship. He has a quote and he says, "The Christian church has no other purpose in this world than to extend the mission of Jesus by establishing communities of love." In his imagination, these Christian communities are lifeboats in a world flooded with hurt and fear. We are walking each other home, and on our way home, we join God in the mission of homemaking. We walk each other through this difficulty, this fear, this hurt, until we arrive at home, dying to ourselves and being born again into the unity of Christ, the peace of Christ, for the good of this world. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9-11, there's this very hopeful glimpse at the future. The preacher in Hebrews 4 says, "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest." That there is a greater sense of home that is waiting for us. And so we make every effort to make that home. We are believers walking each other through the pain, through the difficulty, through our own stuff, our own ego, our own arrogance. We're walking each other home. And so the work of Awaken is the work of homemaking. In the washing of dishes, working through conflict, dog walks and bike rides, meal trains and birthday bonfires, we are walking each other home. And so how sad would it be if we were a church that simply gathered for an hour on Sundays? What we do, that walk towards home, that living of life together, is the work that we do between Monday and Saturday. And then Sunday gathering is that space to rest, entering into the home of God, where we feel like we belong, we've been forgiven, we've been seen and accepted, not in spite of all of our stuff, but because of it. And we are given the blessing to work through our struggles, our issues, a place to be seen, to be welcome, to be at ease. And so I thought, these photos a bunch of Awakeners submitted when I said, what does it look like when you live life together? And I hope that you can see that some of these images are what it means to be homemakers together in this place, to be living life together and making a home in this world. We as a church are a home in this world for God. We as a church are a home in this world where God brings those who are far and those who are near into this home. And so living together is our work. Living life together is our work. And so before I conclude, I just can't help but mention the House of Commons. The House of Commons is an intentional community house that was affiliated with Awaken from the beginning. It was just across the street from Awaken here, just across from Bowcycle, the House of Commons. They lived together as a community for nearly 10 years. They started in 2009, and they just closed their doors kind of about a year and a half ago. And they lived together, and there was a lot of struggles, a lot of difficulties. I think of Shane Claiborne Community House has a t-shirt that says, "Everybody wants a revolution, nobody wants to wash the dishes." And I think the folks at House of Commons would have agreed that there's a lot of dishes to wash and that those moments are where the revolution begins. And every Thursday, the House of Commons would host vulnerable people from around the neighborhood to just come and eat a meal. There wasn't government funding for this. It wasn't an agency. It was just a group of believers who believed in the importance of home. And they would make a meal, and sometimes 30, 40, 50 people from around Bowness would come with baby strollers full of their belongings. And they would come. And sometimes it was messy and sometimes it was awkward, but the House of Commons opened their door for 10 years, week after week. And so many people at Awaken came through there. I looked at a bunch of pictures of the House of Commons and I saw photos with the Cripps family and with Bill and Christy and people who are no longer with us. So many folks were blessed by the hospitality of that house, and I thought that was part of what it meant to be Awaken, was that we open our doors and that we are a home. And so I'm going to read to you a passage from Revelation 21, and then we'll take a moment and watch a video montage that's about 4 minutes long of the House of Commons, and we'll do communion together. So here's our vision, speaking of home, in Revelation 21. The very end of the book of Revelation, chapter 21, begins like this. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, the home of God is among mortals, and he will dwell with them, They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the waters of life. So let's pray together. And while this video plays, sometimes I struggle, like, how much should I talk about COVID, or how much should I talk about the difficulties in our life and in our world right now? And I think part of our task is to imagine together life in the kingdom. And so when I think of House of Commons, mostly I just think of Bowness. I think of the big open table of Awaken in Bowness, and the way that we host folks from all around in all different walks of life to come and taste and see the goodness of God without cost. And we practice and envision that together. So let's pray, and then we'll remember and look ahead together. To the homemaking God, to the God making a home here, I pray that you would move into this neighborhood, move into our lives as individuals, move into us, that we ourselves would be a home, move into our families, to our friendship groups. Move in and make this a place where we are at ease. Make this a place where we feel seen and loved, where we feel safe to grow, to ask questions, to try new things, to heal. I pray that we would do everything in our power to enter into your rest, the rest that we have here in part and the rest that remains. I pray that this week we would have the chance to see that whether it's peeling potatoes or changing diapers or waking up with crying kids who need to pee or something, or it's in answering phone calls and Zoom meetings and sending messages saying, hey, how are you? That in these little ways of living life together, that we are joining in the great mission of Jesus in making a home in this world for our God. Make us a home. Make us homemakers. We pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
So seeing the House of Commons video sort of brought me back to what I was reflecting on as I thought about communion this week. Except for the last 3 years, I've spent basically my whole life living with people. And it made me think about a time when I was a part of an attempted community house as well. And I thought about what I was thinking about at that time when I was participating in that community. And it was a really hopeful time for me. And I think that that connection and that sense of home was there in the middle of the difficult. There's a lot of joy, there's a lot of struggle. There's a lot of mundane parts of life, and I think that's my favorite time to be with others. So this idea of home, finding home in those times that we're with others, even if we're doing unspecial things, is a big part of my journey. So when I was living in that house, I was reading From Brokenness to Community by John Vanier, and that was really meaningful to me in that time. Many of you know that John Vanier started the L'Arche communities, and he sort of inspired many people to think about joining together and living life with others, especially those who are different from us. I know in thinking about John Vanier, he is a complicated guy now who has caused harm to people through unjust actions. And at the same time, many of his words can be really valuable as we think about how to live life with others. As I read through this it's a little tiny book, From Brokenness to Community, you know, maybe like 10 real pages. And as I read it this week, I thought about how he uses the words communion and community interchangeably at times. I'm just going to read you a chunk from it. To be in communion means to be with someone and discover that we actually belong together. Communion means accepting people just as they are, with all their limits and inner pain, but also their gifts and their beauty and their capacity to grow, to see the beauty inside all the pain. To love someone is not, first of all, to do things for them, but to reveal to them their beauty and their value, and to say to them through our attitude, you are beautiful, you are important, I trust you, you can trust yourself. To love someone is to reveal to them that their capacities of life, the light that is shining in them. To be in communion with someone means to walk with them. But communion is not fusion. In a relationship of communion, you are you and I am I. I have my identity and you have yours. I must be myself and you must be yourself. We are called to grow together, each one becoming more themselves. Communion, in fact, gives freedom to grow. It is not possessiveness. It entails a deep listening to others, helping them to become more fully themselves. At the very end of the book, he talks about being a Eucharistic people, a people of communion, where this rhythm is so important to us. The book ends with him saying, "We have been drawn together by God to be a sign of the resurrection and a sign of the unity in this world where there is so much division and inner and outer death. We feel small and weak, but we are gathered together to signify the power of God who transforms death into life. That is our hope, that God is doing the impossible, changing death to life inside each of us, and that perhaps through our community, each of us can be agents in the world of this transformation of brokenness into wholeness and death into life. At the table, we remember the meal that Christ took with the community that he invites us to celebrate together each week at this table with our community. While they were eating, Jesus took the bread and he broke it. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.